The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Today we are talking about Revelation 2:11 and what is the meaning of the second death and what is the hurt that it causes. How should we best apply this passage? Stay with us, we'll talk about it as we bring you this ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society by going to our website, faithalone.org. Lots of information there about our online seminary and our conference ministry and our magazine. Hope you'll take a look at it at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
And Catherine, we have a question that we probably need to make a little bit of an introduction.
That's right. So we have a question from Samuel, and he's asking about Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, which is a very interesting verse. But before we get to Samuel's question, we're going to kind of unpack it a little bit.
Yeah, what's going on there in Revelation 2:11? In Revelation 2:11, Jesus is talking, and he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Now, when we read the Bible, it kind of reminds me when we study a foreign language, we take everything very literally. We often don't take things, when we're a native speaker, we understand figures of speech in English.
Mm-hmm.
We understand them, we get them. Like, for example, if I say the Big Apple. If I say the Big Apple, you know I'm talking about New York City. But my experience when I've studied a language is that when you're studying a foreign language, you take things very, very, very literally.
I think in particular what's hard is sarcasm.
Yeah, sarcasm.
Sarcasm is a great example of just you don't get the nuance.
And we don't get figures of speech.
Right.
You know, and we do that when we study the Bible as well, because we're talking about books that were written 2,000 years ago. And we don't understand the figures of speech. Mm-hmm. We don't understand the nuances and things like that. And we have one of those things here in this verse. When Jesus says, if you're an overcomer, you will not be hurt by the second death. That is, as many Free Grace speakers and writers have pointed out, something that in English we use all the time, which is elitides, which is...
It's a figure of speech.
It's a figure of speech. Mm-hmm. And we use it all the time.
Yeah.
Like if I say, it is saying a positive by stating its negative.
It's emphasizing the positive.
Right. Like if I say, that was not an easy test.
Yeah.
What do I
really
mean by
hard.
It was really hard. Yeah. Or that guy is not a weakling.
He's super strong.
He's muscle bound.
That's right.
And everything. And it is amazing how often we use it, but when we come to the Bible or if we're studying a foreign language, we don't catch those things.
Right.
And when it says here that he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death, when we don't realize that's elitides, what we say is, oh, well, then the non-overcomer will be hurt by the second death.
That's
but that's not the point of the figure of speech. And so what we're saying here is when you look in the previous verse, in verse 10, Jesus says to these believers here at Smyrna, if they will be faithful unto death, they will be rewarded.
They're being persecuted.
They're being persecuted. Mm-hmm. And he goes, be faithful. In other words, be a martyr. If you're a martyr, you will not be hurt by the second death. What's his point? They may be able to take your physical life, but the second death will never touch you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you will have an abundant, he's saying something positive. Yes, they can take your physical life, but the second death, which is the lake of fire, has no bearing on you whatsoever, and you are going to have a rich experience of life in the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. The elitides here, that's the point,
right.
Okay?
Elitides that I like to point out whenever I'm having this conversation that I think people might be more familiar with is in Romans. When Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel.
What does he mean?
he's super ashamed. No, I'm just kidding. It means that he's very proud.
Right.
It's actually the opposite, right? So he's stating the negative to emphasize not only is he not ashamed, but he's actually proud of the gospel that he proclaims there to the church at Rome. So similar thing. It's not that not only are they obviously no believer will experience the second death, but the overcoming believer will not. Not only is that true for them, but they will have this abundant entrance and rewardability. And so I always like to think of it like when the author of Hebrews says that those who suffered and were persecuted at the end of Hebrews 11 will have a better resurrection.
Right.
All believers will be resurrected, but those who suffered and were persecuted, like the church at Smyrna, will experience the better resurrection.
Yeah, and the context here is very important. Who is he talking to? He's talking about people who are martyred.
That's right.
And he reminds them, you're not going to be hurt by the second death, but you will have a rich experience of life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Samuel asked us a question in relation to this verse.
Yeah. Basically, he's asking, could it be that the hurt there
will not be hurt by the second death?
Will not be hurt by the second death is stating that those who do not overcome will experience hurt in the sense that they will suffer loss.
Now, to be fair to Samuel, he agrees that this is not talking about being cast in the
Correct.
Lake of fire.
Yes.
He agrees that that's not the threat here.
Right.
Which, by the way, the Calvinists are going to say, well, if you don't overcome, you're going to be thrown into the lake
right.
of fire. They don't get that this is a figure of speech.
Right. And right. the Arminian's going to say, if you don't overcome, you lose your salvation, so you'll be thrown into the lake of fire.
And Samuel's not saying that.
No, Samuel's not. Samuel is in agreement with us that this is directed to the church. It's directed to believers. And
this is a reward
right.
thing.
And overcoming is the idea that will you be faithful to the end? Regardless of your faithfulness, you'll be in the kingdom. You know, I think of 2 Timothy, right? Even if you are faithless, he remains faithful. The overcomer here is believers who endure till the end. But what happens to those who do not overcome? And he basically asks, could it be that the non-overcomer will experience hurt in that they will suffer the loss of not reigning and receiving rewards? He even suggests something like they'll be hurt in that the realm of hell or the influence of Satan has impacted them. And so it is a statement that the non-overcomer will be hurt, not that they'll be cast in the lake of fire, but that they will be hurt in the sense of the loss of rewards.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Well, I think this question, a couple issues come up with it. I think it might spring from the idea that, and I think he even kind of mentioned this, that hell is like Satan's domain
or realm.
My opinion is that that's a mistake. Satan is not going to rule the lake of fire.
That's true.
He's going to be cast into it. And so
he won't even be in there for the first 1,000 years. He'll
right.
be in the pit.
And part of this is in James chapter 3, James says that the tongue is set on fire by the English translation is hell. But I disagree with that. I know that was Zane Hodges' view that the word there is Gehenna. But someone could look at that verse in James and say, okay, if our speech can be set on fire by the lake of fire in its destructiveness.
Right.
It seems like Samuel's asking that. Could we be hurt from hell in that sense? That Satan, this is his realm, this is his domain. If I am a non-overcoming believer, am I going to be hurt by, let's just say, what he has caused in my life? That this second death here is a reference to where Satan is going to spend eternity, for example. And if Satan impacts me, then his realm can impact me. Would that be a fair way, you think?
I think so.
Of summarizing Samuel's point. Well, there's a couple things wrong with that. First of all, in Revelation, the second death is talking about the lake of fire. It's not talking about the realm where Satan operates or something like that. And like I said, I disagree with thinking that that's what's going on in James chapter 3 as well. I think the Laodiceans there as a figure of speech is a better way to understand Revelation chapter 2, verse 11.
Yeah, I think the other thing, and I can't remember where I heard this from, maybe John Yemla, who teaches sometimes, you know, has written for us. I'm not sure. But part of the issue, too, is that this is not a statement about what's going to happen to the non-overcomer. That's not the point
John
at all.
He's not even talking about that.
That's exactly
He's
right.
talking about the overcomer.
Exactly. This is a statement about the overcomer. So it's not saying, well, the non-overcomer will be hurt. It doesn't say that. It's not a comment about the non-overcomer. It's simply...
Even though that's what we assume because right. we don't understand the right. figure of speech here.
Right. right. But that it is simply saying the overcomer will not be hurt. Just looking at the text, that's all we're told.
And it's talking about the martyr.
That's right. And so, because in Samuel's email, he says, now, if we just look at it at face value, and I would just say to him, yeah, let's look at it face value. This doesn't even say that the non-overcomer will be hurt. It's just saying that the overcomer won't be.
Right. You will not be touched by this.
Yes. So we are inferring, oh, well, then the non-overcomer is hurt. It doesn't say that. So let's not.
And I also just want to add that I think probably, though I'm not sure of this, I have heard things in the past that the idea of purgatory can come from this, that the non-overcomer will experience burning in the fires of purgatory and they will be hurt in that way by the second death. I'm almost positive I've heard it described this way, that this is one of those verses that the Catholic Church has used to argue for purgatory. But what Catherine and I are saying is that no, the second death here is the lake of fire. And as Catherine very well pointed out here, this is talking about the overcomer who is put to death for his faith. He's to remember the second death will never touch him, even though they can touch him in this life with physical death. And he will have a rich experience of life in the world to come. It's a Laodiceans. It's a figure of speech that we use all the time. Well, thank you, Samuel, for that question. And it gave us another opportunity to visit this very interesting passage that reminds us of the nuance of language, including figures of speech and the way we use negatives to emphasize a positive. So thanks for the question. Remember, keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a great weekend and join us again next Monday. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.